Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me. I'm Dwight Falk. This is Live by Every Word, and it's on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG, and we're online at kpcg.fm and have a live link at thetrumpet.com. Mr. Armstrong, Herbert W. Armstrong, often spoke and wrote about the great paradox of mankind. On one hand, the mind of man has been able to produce some amazing inventions. We've gone to the moon. Think about the advancements in computer technology. Even from back in the day when Mr. Armstrong was alive, he died in 1986, but there's been so much advancement in computers since then. Even the phones that many of us have are far more advanced than even some of the most sophisticated computers from years ago. And the ability to communicate through the internet and other means, really a lot of advancements. And yet, of course, when we look around at the world, we still see a lot of problems that we just can't get a hold on, we just can't solve. We still have war, there's famine and diseases. And one would think, just looking at it logically, that if a human mind can invent all sorts of wonderful physical inventions, that we'd be able to figure out how to solve some of these problems that we see. But we can't. We still see these problems. We see some difficulties that are pretty severe. And really, when you look at the weapons that have been created and developed by mankind, you know, some of the problems that could break out in this world would end all human life if Christ didn't intervene and stop it. And he said, of course, that's the direction it's heading. You can read about that in Matthew 24. But the reason that we can't solve our problems is that our problems and evils are spiritual in nature. Man is trying to solve spiritual problems with physical effort, and it just can't be done. The Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course, which is free at thetrumpet.com, and if you haven't signed up for that, please do. It's a great course, and it will really open up your Bible to your understanding. But it says this, because this world's problems are spiritual in nature, and the natural man simply cannot come to grips with spiritual problems. In producing the computer or in flying to the moon, he is dealing with physical matter, which he can comprehend because the human spirit within him, but he cannot solve problems with fellow humans because this involves knowledge, understanding, and application of spiritual principles, which he cannot truly grasp nor implement without the addition of another spiritual element to his mind. So we need help. We need help. And it is spiritual help that we need. That's what we need, spiritual help. Notice this passage. We have a few passages to look at today, so if you have a Bible, it would be great to get these out. This is a very vital topic to look into because we do see so many problems in this world, and we need solutions. We need help. Let's notice 1 Corinthians 2, and we'll read verses 9 through 14. 1 Corinthians 2, starting in verse 9, it says, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God." And so here we see that we need the Spirit of God to understand these deep things of God, including the solutions to the problems that we see in this world, because they're spiritual problems. And then it also shows us an example here and says, well, okay, well, how does man know the things that we know? How do we have the ability to think and reason and so forth? Well, it's by the Spirit, the human spirit in man. And that says, okay, so but to know the things of God now, now we need the Spirit of God. Continuing in verse 12, it says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Now he's talking to God's people here. He says that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Well, there's the issue right there in verse 14. How come man can't solve the problems that we see in this world today? It says in verse 14, as we just read, they are foolishness. These words of God, this truth of God, is foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And without God's Holy Spirit, we can't discern the truth of God. We just can't. The smartest, the best, the brightest, they can do a lot of things with physical knowledge, but they cannot discern the spiritual things. No human mind can have comprehension of spiritual truths on the divine plane without the Holy Spirit. That's just a fact and a truth of the Bible. The natural man with his human spirit is limited to material knowledge. So if people want to build the bridge over a river, and they have enough knowledge, they can do it. We see it all the time. We drive on roads and, you know, all kinds of things that man created. They saw a problem. They said, we want to put a highway here. There's a mountain in the way. Let's tunnel through the mountain. We'll build a road. Problem solved. But we can't solve the spiritual problems, because God's Spirit is needed for that. We have to understand God's spiritual knowledge to solve spiritual problems. So we think about that certainly on a global, in a global sense, you know, the wars, the famines, the poverty. But we can break that down to the individual level as well. What about some of the problems we face in our lives? Do we have the help that we need to solve them? Because we have problems that do come up in our personal lives. We have sins we have to conquer. How do we do that? How do we find the solution? How do we solve it? How do you solve marriages that just aren't working very well? How do you solve parenting issues? How do you solve these things? Is it with physical knowledge? No, it's not. It's with spiritual knowledge. These are spiritual problems. If people know how to solve problems within a family, well, they know how to solve problems within the world too, because it's the same spiritual issues, the divisions that come up, the selfishness, the self-centeredness, and so forth. And so there's a lot to think about here in a very big sense, but then also in a very personal sense for each of us. Do we have the help we need to solve our problems? Because we need help. And the help that we need comes from God's Spirit. The Correspondence Course says, the human mind, which can receive knowledge only through the physical senses, can never really comprehend spiritual concepts and principles without the Holy Spirit of God. That's a truth that the world just does not consider. We cannot understand the things of God without the Spirit of God. So, as man was created by God, he was incomplete. We need the Holy Spirit of God that completes our mind, our thinking. And God's plan for mankind is that we are ultimately born again of spirit, no longer flesh and blood. That's what God wants to do with mankind and will do. Every man in his season, of course. He's only calling a few today. But God is creating man in dual stages, physical first and then spiritual. But we need God's Holy Spirit to be understanding God's truth and to be having the mind of Christ, as we're told to do in Philippians 2 and verse 5. Continuing here in 1 Corinthians, let's look at chapter 15 and verses 49 and 50. 1 Corinthians 15, 49 and 50, it says, and as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. So we're physical today, but God ultimately wants us to be as he is, composed of spirit, an actual God being. That's the truth of the Bible. Verse 50 says, now this I say, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. So again, that gets to the heart of what does it mean to be born again? Well, it means actually born as a God being. No human is born again because we're still human. We're still flesh and blood. John 3 and verse 6, Christ said, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." That's a pretty easy to understand sentence, I think. Because if we're still flesh, again, I think Mr. Armstrong used to say over the years, well, pinch yourself, you know, if you can feel it. if you can feel that you've got some flesh there, then you're not born again yet. But God does want us to be born of the Spirit and actually be Spirit-born sons of God. We need the Holy Spirit in our minds today, and it needs to be working in our minds, and we need to be using that power and developing the character necessary to eventually be born into the God family. So the question then is, how do we receive the Holy Spirit? Lots of people think they have the Holy Spirit, quite a few, but very few actually do. How do we receive the Holy Spirit? Notice Acts 2, verses 38 and 39. Very famous passage here. This is the Pentecost after Christ was resurrected. Verse 38 says, "Then Peter said unto them," this multitude that he was talking to, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Very clear. Repent and be baptized. And, of course, God has to do the calling. John 6, verse 44 talks about that. So God has to call people, and when they're called, then they have to accept that calling. They have to respond to it and then repent and be baptized. Verse 39 says, "For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off." In other words, those of us that are living today, about 2,000 years later, it says, "even as many as the Lord our God shall call." So that's the important a point to remember in that passage there, is that God has to do the calling. God has to do the calling. And when he calls somebody, then it's on them to accept that calling, to respond to it, and to repent and be baptized into the body of Christ. They have to be baptized by true ministers of God. The Bible Correspondence Course says, "Upon repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, whose death paid the penalty for sin in our stead, we may be reconciled to God and receive the Holy Spirit of God, which is added to our human spirit." Remember earlier, we talked about how man was created incomplete. We have the human spirit from birth, but we need another spirit. We need the Holy Spirit of God. Romans 8 and verses 14 through 17. Notice this. It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." So that's often a question people might have. Well, who's a true Christian? Well, verse 14 of Romans 8 tells us, we just read it, we have to be led by the Spirit of God. Verse 15 says, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of sonship," it should read, "whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Begotten children, not born yet, but begotten children. Verse 17 says, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." It's leading to being born into the family of God. That's what God's Spirit leads us towards. We have to use God's Spirit to grow in God's character. And we need God's Spirit. It's such an important point. And there are many, relatively speaking, in terms of God's church, many that have known the truth and have been baptized and have fallen away in this era that we are in, this final church era, the Laodicean era. And it's really important to stop and think about Romans 8 and verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." You know, people may say, well, I'm familiar with what was taught by Mr. Armstrong, I'm familiar with what the Bible says, but, you know, are they supporting God's work today? Are they being led by the Spirit? You know, it's not once saved, always saved, as some people like to think about. You know, a person can be going the right direction, they can be using God's Spirit, and then not use it. And as the Bible talks about, we don't want to quench the Spirit. You know, just because a person at one point was supporting God's work doesn't mean that it's okay to not do it today. We have to continue to support God's work. We have to continue to do God's work, continue daily to be led by God's Holy Spirit. And so that's an important point to consider. If we've done well in the past, that's outstanding, but we have to continue to do well. We have to continue to do God's work. Those that endure to the end are saved. You know, so we have to continue to use God's Spirit and continue to let God work through us. And we are then, if we are led by the Spirit of God, then we are the sons of God. Physical growth in the mother's womb and birth gives us a picture of our spiritual begettal and eventual birth. We all know what that's like. You know, a woman has a baby growing inside of her and is in the mother's womb and has to grow to a certain size and weight and development, and then it's born. If it's born too early, it wouldn't be able to live on its own outside of the mother. You know, it would have problems. So it has to grow. It has to develop. It has to come to the right size. And we have to grow spiritually as well to the point where we can be born into God's family. We have to develop the character of God. And you can see why Satan hates family and reproduction and does everything he can to pervert and to destroy it. I mean, it's in this society today, it's being perverted like a few other times in history, except for maybe Sodom and Gomorrah, I suppose. But that's why family is so important, because the physical family pictures the God family. Physical reproduction pictures spiritual reproduction. God intended it that way. And so we don't want to corrupt that or pervert that in any way. The correspondence course says that God's Holy Spirit, when it combines with the human spirit in the human mind, does two things. Number one, it imparts to the mind the ability to comprehend spiritual knowledge, to understand the things of God, which the carnal mind cannot grasp. And number two, it begets the human with divine eternal life, God life, which makes it possible for him to be later born into the God family as a divine being, then composed wholly of spirit. Adam and Eve could have had God's Spirit by eating of the tree of life. But by eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they rejected God, and they were cut off from access to God's Spirit. And the majority of mankind has been cut off ever since, which is something that the world doesn't understand, but that's the truth in the Bible. John 6 and verse 44, as we mentioned earlier, shows that God does call a few today for his purpose. Now, all mankind will have an opportunity to know God's truth, to accept it, to live by it, to grow and to be born into his family. God's not a respecter of persons, but every person is called in their season. John 7, verses 37 through 39 talks about the last great day, where Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So this is a prophecy of that time, that fulfillment right after the millennium, that last great day period, when God's Spirit will be open to all people. And they'll be able to come and freely partake of that and freely take the mind of Christ. But today it's closed off, except for the very few. But for those who God is calling to receive his Holy Spirit today, we have to grow spiritually. We have to be growing and developing just like that physical child inside the mother's womb. Matthew 5 and verse 48, of course, says, "Be you therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." That's the standard that we're striving for. We're trying to be perfect as God is perfect. And of course, no man is perfect, so we need God's Holy Spirit to help us to grow, to develop, and to get closer and closer to that perfection. The Bible Correspondence Course says, "We become spiritual embryos when upon receipt of the Holy Spirit, we are begotten of God." And to grow spiritually, we must take in spiritual nourishment. Just as the embryo in a mother's womb must be nourished with life-giving food through the placenta, so we must be nourished by the Word of God. John 6 and verse 63 says, "The words that I speak," Christ said, "unto you, they are spirit and they are life." So we need to study our Bibles. We need to know the Word of God, and we need to be praying and drawing close to God. And we drink in these life-giving words from the Bible through reading, studying, and meditating, or pondering about what we read, thinking on it. And that has to be a daily effort for us, and an effort of love that we enjoy more and more, but it has to be a daily effort. Remember, as we read earlier from Romans, that those that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. We want to be led by God's Spirit every day. Spiritual character development requires time, of course, and comes largely by experience, by putting the Word of God into practice in our daily lives. God gives us this life to practice, practice being like Him, and to develop and to grow, and it takes time, and it takes using His Spirit every day, and developing the righteous character of God does take time, and we have to come to discern through God's revelation in the Holy Bible, right from wrong. What's the right way to go? What's the wrong way? We have to discern the true values from the false. We have to discern truth from error. And then we have to choose the right way, reject the wrong way, and with the help of God's Holy Spirit, resist the wrong and do the right. That's a daily, daily process. Every day we have to do that. And growing in spiritual knowledge and spiritual character is a gradual process, and it continues for the rest of a person's life. At baptism, you know, people are often told, look, this is just the beginning, because it is. It's a beginning. It takes time. It takes time to grow and to develop the character of God, and it's impossible to do without God's Holy Spirit. We have to have that. We need prayer. We need Bible study. We need Christian fellowship. And we need that in the church as our spiritual mother. There are some people that at times say, well, I can kind of do this on my own. I can stay home and, you know, I'll read the Bible and I'll pray and I'll do these different things. And but they don't want to be part of God's true church. They want to do it by themselves. And, of course, ultimately there's probably a government issue there that needs to be thought about. But we cannot do it by ourselves. We need God's Holy Spirit, but we need to be in the true church of God as well when we're called into that body of Christ. That's where God the Father and Jesus Christ are working. They're working through their church. They're working through the government that they have established, the leadership. And they're doing a work. The Correspondence Course says, God's church is the spiritual mother of all who have been begotten by God's Holy Spirit. Again, there's a physical type of birth that we know about, and it's a type of the spiritual. You know, you don't see a baby growing and developing outside of the mother. I suppose sometimes it might try something like that in today's modern medicine, but that's not the way it's designed. They're designed, the children, the babies are designed to grow within the mother. That's how God designed it. And we grow as sons of God, begotten sons of God, within the mother, within the church. The course continues and says, God has set his called and chosen ministers in his church to feed the flock so the individual members may grow spiritually. Christ has given his ministers the responsibility to instruct, teach, and counsel the members of the church. There's a certain government there. Sometimes people buck up against that or resist that and don't like it, but that's what God's established. And, I mean, we all have to ask ourselves, well, if I struggle to listen to a person, a physical human that's in a governmental role, am I going to be able to listen to God or Christ, God the Father or Jesus Christ? Am I really going to be able to do that? Well, no, if we can't listen to God's representative, then how can we listen to God? And we don't want to kid ourselves there. The course continues and says, Christ has given his ministers the responsibility, again, to instruct and to teach, to counsel, and to help the members of the church. So just as a human mother feeds her begotten child within her womb through the placenta and umbilical cord, God's children are nourished with spiritual food within the true church. And as the human mother carries her unborn baby in that part of her body where she can best protect it from physical harm, the function of God's church is to also protect the begotten children of God from spiritual harm, from the false doctrines of false ministers who appear as Christ's representatives, but actually, whether wittingly or unwittingly, represent Satan and his way. You can read about that in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 13 through 15. There's a lot of people that, you know, claim to be teaching God's message, but it often is not God's message. It's a false message. It's a false Christianity. So we need God's Holy Spirit. We're not complete without it. We need God's Spirit joined with our human spirit and our physical minds. And we need that Spirit to open up our understanding to God's truth. The problems we see in this world on a big scale and the problems we see in individual lives, they're spiritual problems. And they can't be solved without God's Holy Spirit. And God's Holy Spirit helps people to grow and to develop the character of God within God's true church. So we need God's Spirit. We need to be in the true church of God. And if we are being called by God, and most listening to this program are, then we need to make sure that we are using God's Spirit and that we are growing within the body of Christ. If you have more questions about any of these topics, including the true church of God, Christ did say he would build his church and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. So it is here on this earth. If you have more questions about that, you can visit a website that we have, pcg.church, and you can contact a minister or write in a question from that website, pcg.church. And there's a lot of great literature there as well that answers a lot of these questions and gets more in depth about God's church and how it functions and what it does and God's Holy Spirit and how that works. And so you can read a lot of that information there, or you can write in a question if you have that to pcg.church. That's all the time we have for today on this edition of Live by Every Word. Thanks for spending some time with me. I'm Dwight Falk. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.